Well, I thought I'd start today with a news story that I saw a couple of years ago from CBS. A third grade teacher in Dorchester, Massachusetts, won a $150,000 cash prize in a contest from Capital One. Now, I think all of us would like that, wouldn't we, if we were offered? But rather than keep the money, Nicole Bollerman decided to donate it back to her school. Bollerman won the prize by entering Capital One's Wish for Others promotion. Her wish was that each of her students would leave for their December break with a book in hand. "Their love for reading and life is contagious," she wrote in her entry. Capital One delivered 3 books to each of Bollerman's students. The company also gave Bollerman a $150,000 check, which she turned over to the school. In response, the city's mayor honored Bollerman at City Hall in December. This was a few years ago. So this woman has this wish that all of her students would leave with a book in hand. And Capital One likes this. They give the books to all the students. But in addition to this, they give her the check, $150,000. Now, I would like that. I think I could think of a lot of things that I would use $150,000 for. I'm sure you guys probably are in the same boat. But the reality is, she was so thankful for what she got and the gift that she had that she gave it all away. She gave it back to the school. And so her thankfulness resulted in giving. So today, I want to stop our series, our Christmas series that we've been going through, and pause for 1 week and have a topical sermon on Thanksgiving, because we have Thanksgiving coming up, as you don't no doubt know. And if you guys are on diets, you're going to be fasting for the next couple of days in preparation for Thursday. But this is supposed to be a day, as you all know, where we give thanksgiving to God for all of the blessings that we have. And I believe that most of us probably are thankful for what we have. We know we live in a blessed society. We have many blessings. So I think we're thankful, and we tell God that we're thankful. And we may do so before we eat. We say, you know, "Lord, thank you for all that we have. Thank you for this food." But oftentimes, that's where it stops. That's the problem. And so today, I want to see an action that should naturally result out of thankfulness, out of true thanksgiving. And so we'll see what that action is. We'll see the proper response of thankfulness to God. We'll see 3 points today that you can follow along with in your sermon insert, as well as some subpoints that are in there. If you don't get them all, you can ask me after the service. But we'll see 3 points. We'll see a reason that we should be thankful to God, the proper response to God coming from our thankfulness. And finally, we'll see what reaction we should take as a result of this response. So today, if you want to mark in your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Chronicles 29, 12 through 18. It'll be on the screens behind me as well. 1 Chronicles 29, 12 to 18. And in this passage, we'll see what David did as a result of his thanksgiving to God. What we're about to read is a prayer by David to God in light of donations for the building of the temple that he wouldn't be able to build because the Lord said that he was a man of blood who had shed too much blood, so he couldn't build the temple. But his son Solomon would build the temple. And even though David couldn't have the temple built, he could supply the blueprints and the supplies for his son Solomon. So this is just after he has given a lot of materials for the temple. A lot of Israelites have given a lot, and he prays this prayer of thanksgiving. And so all Solomon had to do when he came into power was, basically, it's kind of like a Lego set. David provided the instructions, he provided the materials, and Solomon had to put it together, right? So we'll see this prayer after David has donated all these things. So let's go ahead and read our whole text, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 12 through 18. It says this. David, in his prayer to the Lord, says, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we're strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people, who are present here, offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people, and direct their hearts towards you. So the first point I want to make today is that as a society, we've been blessed much like David and Israel were. We've been blessed much like David and Israel were here in America. During the reign of David, a little bit of historical context to this, Israel started thriving as a nation. If you've read the book of Judges, you know it was kind of a chaotic time. The enemies of Israel were constantly raiding the land. Israel was at war. During the time of Saul, they were at war, fighting off enemies. When David came into power, they're at war, but David subdued the enemies around them. And then there was peace in the land. And not only did he subdue and defeat the enemies who were attacking them, but a lot of these nations were giving tribute to Israel. And so Israel was thriving. And then they established trade partnerships with other nations. And so the economy of Israel began booming. And they had unprecedented wealth that continued on into the reign of Solomon as well. And then after that, if you know the story, they became disobedient and things started falling apart. But David had a lot of wealth being the king of Israel, being the king of this prosperous nation. He literally gave tons of his own wealth for the building of God's temple. He had it in his heart that he wanted to build a temple for the Lord and have something magnificent. He saw that he himself had a palace and he wanted to build a temple that glorified the Lord. And so we see, just above what we read here earlier in chapter 29, that David gave 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building. That's in 29:4. Now, a talent, according to scholars, is estimated to be about 65 to 75 pounds. So one talent, 65 to 75 pounds. So David gave 3,000 talents of gold. So according to my calculations, math was never my strong suit, so you may want to double-check this. This is where we need Rodney here to double-check my math. But according to my calculations, if I take a talent on the conservative end and it's 65 pounds, that's about 195,000 pounds of gold, and 455,000 pounds of silver. That's a lot. That's mind-blowing. And not only that, but we see that the people of Israel had over 5,000 talents of gold, or over 325,000 pounds of gold, and over 10,000 talents of silver, which would be about 650,000 pounds. And they add even more bronze and iron on top of that. So that is literally tons and tons of gold and silver. That amount just blows my mind. And the amount of prosperity that implies the nation had, and if you were an Israelite at this time, that just blows my mind that you would have that amount of precious metals laying around that you could donate to the temple of the Lord. But they did so because they wanted to build a magnificent temple for the Lord. Now, our nation has been blessed over abundantly as well. Now, you're probably not sitting at home on thousands of pounds of gold and silver. If you are, then you're more blessed than most of us, I think. But we are blessed. We have just all kinds of food waiting for us at the grocery store to go pick up. We don't have to go hunt and forage for our food anymore. You can even order online food that you want or groceries, and it can be delivered to your door. Or I've done some Christmas shopping in the past few weeks, and you can just order it online, and it's delivered to your door. Things are really convenient. Things are really nice. We have the latest and greatest medical technology. Many illnesses and diseases that would have killed us in decades past, or in other societies even today, we have medicines and are easily curable. And not only that, but we live in a day and age where we have entertainment, the best world-class entertainment you can get just sitting at home. You don't even have to go anywhere. We live in a society where we're very privileged. We have a lot of technology that makes life easy for us as far as we can travel long distances. Many of us will probably do that for Thanksgiving this week, and we can travel long distances without getting exhausted, without burning calories, which we probably should for before Thanksgiving, but we can travel long distances with relative ease and pretty quickly. And so we live in a society where we are blessed, we are wealthy, and it's much like Israel was during the reign of David and Solomon. So we have a lot to be thankful for, much like they were. And so when we're truly thankful, that needs to not only be on our lips, not only what we say to the Lord, not only what we say to other people and say, you know, we're blessed, we're hashtag blessed, as people say, and they put it on social media. Not only that, but it needs to result in action. And this goes into the second point that I want to make today. The proper response to God's gifts is genuine generosity. The proper response to God's gifts is genuine generosity. And we see this in our text for today. We see that David and the Israelites respond to God's blessing with genuine generosity. David and the Israelites were thankful for the blessings that God had bestowed upon them. They knew that all that they had come from God himself. David says as much in verses 12 through 14. He says that wealth and honor come from God and that they're very thankful to him for his blessings. Then in verse 14, he acknowledges that everything comes from God's hand. So David, along with Israel, rightly recognize where their wealth comes from. And they're appropriately thankful. But they didn't leave it here. David didn't just say, oh God, we're thankful for all that you've blessed us with. They take it a step further. And they give back to God from the blessings that he's given to them. The point wasn't simply that they gave a lot either. It wasn't like, wow, look at the huge amount that they gave. But it was that they did it with a genuine attitude. Now, what do I mean by a genuine attitude? That's kind of vague. We all want to have a genuine attitude when we do about anything. But what's that mean in this case? Well, I mean that they gave willingly, they gave honestly, and they gave humbly. They gave willingly, honestly, and humbly. We see that the Israelites gave willingly in verse 17 of our passage. David says that he gave willingly, and he takes joy from the fact that Israel, the people themselves, were also giving willingly. God didn't command David to give anything to him for building the temple. This wasn't something that God said, okay, David, I need you to build me a magnificent temple because I just really want to have a really great temple. No, this is something that David decided to do on his own. He wasn't called to do this. God didn't show up and make him do this. This wasn't something that he felt like he had to do. Rather, it was something he wanted to do for the Lord. David was looking at his wealth, his own palace, and he saw that the Lord was still dwelling in a tabernacle, and he wanted to build a temple for the Lord. And God's response was, you know, I haven't dwelt in a temple from the day that the people of Israel left Exodus till today. The Lord didn't need a temple, but the Lord was happy with David's desire to build this temple. We'll see more of that next week as we go back to our Christmas series. We'll be in a passage right around where David has this desire to build the temple, but the Lord was pleased with it. And so Israel gave greatly from their wealth to build this temple. They were all in on this mission that David had. But it was all willingly done. David didn't send out a decree and say, okay, Israel, you need to bring all of your precious wealth, otherwise there's going to be a penalty, there's going to be punishment. They all saw David giving, and David giving over abundantly, not just the minimum, not just merely what was needed for the temple, but he's giving of his own personal wealth, and Israel then comes and responds. And willingness in giving is a very important thing. You see, for giving to be genuine, you need to do it willingly. A gift begrudgingly given is not God-honoring. It's not a gift. So just think about it this way. Say it's your birthday, and say people give you a lot of nice gifts, but they do so because they feel like they have to, or they're afraid of you. They're not happy about it. They're bitter because they're spending money giving to them, giving to you, and that wouldn't make you happy, would it? Now, some of you are thinking, well, it depends on the gift, right? But probably for most of us, it wouldn't make us happy. Because what we want when we receive a gift, and even what's going on with Operation Christmas Child and the kids, you want to know that people care about you and that they are celebrating whatever the occasion is and that they love you. You want that willing motivation behind it. Otherwise, it's not that great if you feel like people are giving it to you out of a sense of obligation. You want to feel loved. It's the same thing with God. Have you ever given begrudgingly to anything, to the Lord? I know I have. One case of this was I was in seminary, and one thing, if you don't know anything about seminary students, is most don't have a lot of money, right? So that means, by implication, that when somebody's asking for you to donate to something, most seminary students probably aren't going to have the money, and they're not going to be very willing. So one thing in seminary we had to do is we had to go to chapels every week. And during one chapel, there was a fundraiser for some ministry. I don't remember what it was. Now, the people at the seminary knew that seminary students probably are not the most charitable because they don't have a lot. And then we tend to kind of hold on to what little we have. And so what they did was they announced the ministry. They announced they were going to collect at the end. But they got all these cute little kids. I don't know where they got them from. They got all these cute little kids and gave them buckets and had them stationed at every single door around the chapel, except for one. And a lot of kids made a break for that door before they positioned another kid there. But they put all these little kids there with their little bucket. And these kids, I don't know if they told them to do this or not, but they stood not just at the side of the door, but they stood like smack in the middle of the door, so you had to confront them. You couldn't sneak around. You couldn't wait for the person who's giving a bunch of money and being nice and talking with them, and you sneak around them and get out. That you had to deal with this kid with the bucket. And so your choices were, and I was thinking of all the ways out of it when we were in line, because I did not want to give to whatever this was, not because I was against, I was probably half asleep, so I probably didn't even know what we were giving to, but I was thinking, how can I get out of giving in this case? And so the line's going, and people are paying their dues, and maybe people had a better attitude than I did, I don't know, but we're getting closer and closer, and I realize I'm going to either have to look this cute little kid in the face who's so excited about doing something for the Lord with this bucket and say, no, I don't have any money, and go around him, or I was going to have to give. So when I got to him, I grabbed a dollar and put it in, and it was done bitterly. I was reluctantly letting go of my dollar to this kid in this ministry, but I gave. Now, that was not a willing gift, and that is not the type of gift that glorifies the Lord. That's not the type of gift that God wants us to do. That's not how God wants us to do anything like these Operation Christmas Childs, gifts to others, and especially gifts to him. But Israel, when they gave, and David, gave willingly. Now, the Israelites also gave honestly as well. Honest giving is another mark to genuine generosity. In verse 17, we see that David says that he gave with honest intent. Now, in the Hebrew here, it says uprightness of heart. His heart was upright. There was no ulterior motive to what he was giving. He wasn't giving to look good in front of everyone so people would say, oh, look at King David. Look at him giving of his wealth. He's so awesome. Look at how great King David is and how much he loves the Lord. David did this not for publicity. He gave in order to glorify the Lord. And the Israelites gave not because they had to, not because they wanted to get in good with King David. Oh, this is important with King David. Let's give a bunch too, and then maybe we'll be invited to special positions, or we won't have to go to war, or something like that. They gave because they wanted to glorify the Lord. It was with an honest heart. And so many times when people give with ulterior motives. They give to something, or they give to somebody especially, because they want it to get in good with the person. Or they think, you know, as Christians sometimes we think, you know, I had a friend who did this once, but he thinks, you know, hey, if I give a dollar, God blesses us tenfold, so God will give me $10 back. It's like a good retirement investment here. We'll give and then we'll get back, or God will answer my prayers if I give, or I'll look good in church, or I'll be influential in church, and we have these ulterior motives. But when we give, it needs to be honestly. Just because we want to glorify the Lord. We give to somebody else because we love them and we want to show that we love them. We need to give with an honest heart. That's important when we're giving. Now the Israelites also gave humbly. In verses 14 through 16, David explains that all he and the Israelites were giving was what came from God himself. Not only this, but David recognizes that they're wholly unworthy to receive any of what they receive from God, and that all that they have already belongs to God. They're not giving God anything that he doesn't already have an abundance of. The last clause of verse 14 says this, "And of your own we have given you." But in the Hebrew it says, "And from your own hand we have given to you." So it has this picture imagery of God handing something out of his own hand to the Israelites, and the Israelites just putting it back into his hand. They know that what they're giving to God is not something that God is deficient in. It's not something that they've worked and earned on their own, and God is sitting there just holding out his hand, and they're being so great by giving it to him. They know that all that they have comes straight from God, and they're not giving to him anything he doesn't already have or that he didn't already give to them. They're just simply putting it back into the hand of God out of a sense of worship and out of a sense of thanksgiving. And many times I think I know people who have given and they want to show how much they've earned. And they say, "Look at me, look how great I am. I'm giving money of what I've earned that I've worked so hard for." And there's not this sense of humility that what they have has come from the Lord. They're not giving God anything extra. This is not money, income coming into God. God is pouring everything out. And everything that we give back to him is something simply that comes from the hand of the Lord. It's not something, we may work hard for what we earn, and that's certainly true. We may invest a lot of time and effort, and that's good. But even the opportunity to have the health to do the job that we do, or the opportunity to have the job that we have, or live where we live in this nation, it all comes back to God in the beginning. Everything that we have is traceable back to the hand of God. And so we must never forget that. We must give when we give humbly, not with a chip on our shoulder, not thinking, you know, "Look, God, look how much I'm giving, look how much I've earned and how much I'm able to give to you." We give humbly, saying, "Lord, we're not worthy to even be able to give as generously as this. And we're just giving back to you what you've given to us." And we see that with David and Israel and their attitude. And we need to have the same attitude as well when we give out of thanksgiving. So what all of that means for us then, our application, is that we need to give generously from our finances back to God. Give generously from our finances back to God. The proper response to God, if we're thankful for all that he's blessed us with, and we should be thankful, certainly, is that we need to give of our finances back to him. We need to do this in the same way that the Israelites and David did. We need to give willingly. We need to give honestly. We need to give humbly. But how do we give back to God? It's not as if we can mail a check to God in heaven. It's not as if we can go find God and give something to him. So I have three ways here we can give back to God. This is not exhaustive, but here are three ways that I have for us practically to do so. The first way, and probably the most obvious way, is that we can and should be giving to God is by giving to our local church. So unless you're a visitor here, for you, that means right here at Rossville Bible Fellowship. This is your home church. We are to be giving to our local church. And sometimes this can be something uncomfortable for pastors to talk about because people sometimes think, and rightly so, there's a reason that sometimes pastors have this reputation, that people preach about money because church is really all about money. It's not about anything else. But if you really look at the heart of giving in Scripture and what it's about, it's not about even what the church can do with funds, but it's about an act of worship. Giving for us at a personal level, every time we put money back in that box back there, it needs to be an act of worship. And that's why many churches do collection during a worship service. It's not just because it's practical, because everybody's seated in the same room. It's because it is genuinely an act of worship that belongs in a worship service in a church. It's we're giving to God out of thanksgiving for what he's done. And it's an act of worship. And so we need to be doing that. We need to be worshiping God with our money by giving in multiple areas, one of which is our local church right here at Rossville Bible Fellowship. And some of those things that enables is it enables us to minister not only as an act of worship, but that goes on and produces fruit because it enables the church to minister in our community. It enables us to do various things in not just Rossville, but in other communities that we support. And so we need to be giving to our local church. And another way that we can give back to God is to give to missionaries and missions. And the idea here is really the same as that of our church. Just because we're giving outside doesn't necessarily mean that it's not an act of worship. Every time we give out of thanksgiving to the Lord, it needs to be an act of worship. And so we can do that here at Rossville Bible Fellowship. Part of the money that we collect in the general fund is something as elders, and you can see that in our budget if you were here at our business meeting, how much of that we give to different missions organizations, not just, again, not just organizations here in Rossville, but in the community, Kokomo, also, and around the world, different missionaries that we have, some of whom are up there on that board. And so that enables us to minister in areas where we may never set foot, areas around the world. It enables them to carry out their ministries, carry out the work of the Lord, and we have a part to play in that. These Christmas child boxes, this is an international ministry that Samaritan's Purse does, and we support it, obviously, have the boxes all around to demonstrate that, but this is a way in which we can play a part, a small part, in sharing the gospel around the world. And so if we give to missions, that's something that's enabled through that. And that's something that we should be giving to out of thanksgiving to the Lord. And a third way that we can give back to God is by giving to those who are in need in the name of Jesus. This could be family members, friends, or acquaintances. This could be caring for those around us who we go to work with or we go to school with. And this is especially should be the case if we have family members in need. Our first responsibility is to family, especially our immediate family. And so if we have people who are in need, we need to be giving to them. Now, not just handing them money and say, you know, here you go away, but giving to them and saying, look, I'm giving to you because I'm thankful for what Jesus has given to me. Jesus has given everything to me, and I'm to love and to give to you as well. And so by doing this, we're sharing the love of God and giving, and it's an act of worship. Again, it's not just to meet a need. This is the difference between Christian giving and so much giving we see in our society for secular or humanistic needs, some of which are good to feed the hungry or feed the poor. But without this religious element, a Christian element of giving that is crucial, and it must start here for all giving, is it's an act of worship. So when we're giving to the needy and the poor, it's not fundamentally because we want to feed the poor. That's something we want to do, and that's something we're commanded to do in Scripture. But first of all, we want to glorify the Lord. And it's born out of thanksgiving and a realization of what the Lord has done for us, all by grace, and how blessed we are. And out of our blessing, we are giving back to the Lord and sharing that love, sharing that blessing with other people. That's the difference between Christian giving and secular giving. Secular giving, there's no worship there. It's to meet a need or maybe even other selfish motivations. But true Christian giving, if we're doing it from the right heart, is humble, willing, and it's generous. We give in order not to give back to the Lord, but out of thanksgiving for what he's given to us, because we realize that what we have is by his gracious act. And so to summarize what we've seen today, we give because we have reason to be thankful, because God has richly blessed us and our own nation. And the proper response to these gifts from God is genuine generosity. What that looks like is we need to be giving generously from our finances back to God. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, not because we feel like we have to, not because we have a tithe tax that we feel like we have to give, but because we genuinely want to, and because we want to glorify the Lord, we want to magnify him in our own lives. I thought I'd close today with a quote that I think summarizes what we've talked about today pretty good, and it's a good thing to remember going into Thanksgiving. I don't know who this guy is, but this is a guy named Jacob Broud who said this. He said, "Thanksgiving, to be truly thanksgiving, is first thanks and then giving." And that's true. We need to remember that. First, we are thankful. We say, thank you, Lord, for what I have. And then the proper response to true thankfulness and true thanksgiving is then to give back to the Lord in some way with a willing heart. Let's close in prayer.